This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. You know, if you followed the sort of discussion of torture or alleged torture during the Bush administration and its treatment of detainees at Guantanamo Bay and elsewhere, you might have thought that the discussion of whether waterboarding, the technique of waterboarding, constitutes torture, that discussion referred to a single instance of waterboarding. Well, in 2007, a former CIA officer told ABC News and other organizations that an al-Qaeda operative, Abu Zubaydah, had undergone waterboarding for only 35 seconds before agreeing to tell everything he knew. Well, we now apparently know very, very differently. New analysis of the so-called torture memos released on Thursday night say that Mr. Zubaydah was actually waterboarded at least 83 times and almost 200 times against Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, another detainee, the self-described planner of the September 11th attacks. Whether that frequency or that amount of waterboarding constitutes torture is really a whole different issue. And here to talk about it is New York Times Washington reporter Scott Shane in Baltimore. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be with you.
Now, to say that waterboarding once is torture is the kind of stunt that, you know, Christopher Hitchens can do for a Vanity Fair, a widely downloaded video. But when you get up to 83 or hundreds of times, it's a whole different issue. How do you evaluate it here?
Well, of course, the Bush administration's Justice Department wrote a whole series of legal memoranda, first in 2002 and then again in 2005, when doubts had grown again at the CIA. All of them argue using very elaborate arguments that none of this stuff was torture, including waterboarding Khalid Sheikh Mohammed 183 times. I'm not a lawyer, and I'll leave that debate to the lawyers. Certainly in a common sense way, it's hard to make the case that waterboarding, particularly at that level, is not torture. It's a method that's been used all the way back to the Spanish Inquisition. It was used by Pol Pot in Cambodia, and his waterboard is now preserved in the Genocide Museum in Phnom Penh. So as a common sense matter, you know, probably most people would agree that this is torture. The reason it's significant now is because there is this debate that's still going on between, for example, former Vice President Dick Cheney, who said that this method was necessary, this kind of treatment for these al-Qaeda leaders was necessary in order to get information to protect the country. And he was responded to not long ago by President Obama, who said essentially the opposite, that these torture methods had become a recruiting tool for al-Qaeda and had made the country less safe rather than more safe.
Well, this is something of a... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that There's a question about the efficacy of these methods, whether they get someone to talk, and when they do get someone to talk, whether what they say is likely to be true or whether they're just going to say whatever they think the interrogator wants to hear. And certainly the notion that, as you mentioned, a former CIA officer said in 2007, you waterboarded this guy for 35 seconds and he sat down and told you everything he knew. That seems, I think a lot of Americans would say, hey, you know, that seems like a pretty good deal. When you read that he was waterboarded 83 times, and I reported over the weekend that after that he provided no new substantive information.
Right, quickly. Well, then it's a whole different deal. New York Times reporter Scott Shane with an update on the frequency of waterboarding. More revelations from the torture memos. Thank you very much, Scott.